You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Meat and Three is Heritage Radio Network's weekly food news roundup. This week on Meat and Three, we're bringing you highlights from Feast Portland, like our chat with the one and only Andrew Zimmern.
I'm super excited to be here because for people who do what I do for a living, we do tons of, you know, desk side chats and podcasts and interviews and stuff like that. And you circle the handful of ones in a year where you get to talk with people that you're really excited about talking with. So this is awesome.
We picked up on some recurring themes while talking to our impressive roster of guests, including the current state of Portland's food scene, personal identity, and believe it or not, the influence of great chefs' grandmothers.
Meemaw never touched a drop of booze in her life and now has a distillery named after her. But I grew up in her garden and just really, she taught me all good things come from scratch and women can be anyone they want to be.
So tune in for this week's extra special episode. Subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, you're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb, and I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. Each week, we bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life through conversations with the most inspiring women in and around the world of food. First, let's thank our sponsors. Le Cordon Bleu. If you're daydreaming about culinary school, maybe it's time to say bonjour to Le Cordon Bleu. Learn more about the legendary culinary school's most prestigious professional qualification, Le Grand Diplôme, by visiting Cordon Bleu. .edu. And Bob's Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill is an employee-owned company that's been offering organic, gluten-free, and stone-ground products for decades. Visit bobsredmill.com today and use their code CHERRY25 for 25% off your order. And Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs. Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs are better than cage-free. They are bullshit-free. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. Some housekeeping. This October, we have some very fun events taking place in New York City. October 26th through 28th, the very first Cherry Bomb University will take place at the Food and Finance High School. We have a great weekend of classes with some professors you know and love, and we're kicking everything off Friday night with Christina Tosi. Yes, the one and only Tosi, who will be getting an honorary doctorate from Cherry Bomb University. Then we're kicking off the Cherry Bomb Bake Club with two events at Smith Canteen in Brooklyn. On October 4th, we'll be celebrating Lindsay Sung of Cocoa Cake Land and her new cookbook. Come by for cake, of course, and get a signed copy of Lindsay's book. Then on October 25th, we're welcoming Lisa Lidwinski of Detroit's Sister Pie. I'm sure you've heard of them. We will have pie, of course, and you can get Lisa's book too. Tickets for all of those events are on sale right now at cherrybomb.com. It is time for today's guests. They are Andrea Horwood and Elle McPherson, the founders of the wellness brand Wellco. Wellco makes wonderful, nutrient-rich plant-based elixirs, including the Super Greens Superfoods powder, which I'm a big fan of and had this very morning. Andrea was in her late teens when she launched the magazine called Australian Style. She then went on to launch Becca Cosmetics and founded the sunscreen brand Invisible Zinc. You might be more familiar with Elle's story as she's one of the world's most major supermodels. When she was in her late teens living in Australia, she decided to move to New York City to model so she could make some money for law school. Her career took off and she wound up on countless covers in huge ad campaigns, and she even earned the nickname The Body from Time magazine. We talk about everything from the changing definition of beauty to the women's mentors to Elle's advice on making your own nut milk. You know I love Australians, so I was so excited to talk with Andrea and Elle. And I also love how Wellco is a story about their personal wellness journeys as well as their friendship. One thing to note, we recorded this interview at The Wing in Dumbo. We're very excited to start this partnership with The Wing, and we'll be spending a lot of time there working out of their podcast studio. So thank you to the team at The Wing. Our talk will begin right after this message from our sponsor, Le Cordon Bleu. Are you daydreaming about culinary school again? Make this the year your dreams become reality with Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school. Study classic French culinary techniques in cuisine and pâtisserie as part of their exclusive 9-month Le Grand Diplôme and graduate into a world of opportunity. You also can extend your course of studies to include culinary management and dedicated internships. Le Cordon Bleu has locations in more than 20 countries around the world and located within some of the best food cities out there: London, Ottawa, Madrid, Bangkok, Tokyo, and of course, the spiritual home of cuisine and Le Cordon Bleu, Paris. Turning your daydreams into reality is closer than ever. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more and let your culinary adventure begin. So you've both been entrepreneurs literally since you were teenagers. And the word entrepreneur wasn't used back then the way it is today, which you know. Did you look at yourselves as young business people back then? Or were you just young women doing your thing?
I think that you don't consider yourself a business person at that age. I think it's a consequence. A business ended up being built around what I love to do rather than me ever considering myself a business person at that age.
How did you wind up launching a magazine at 19?
I'm from a very remote part of Australia, on the west coast, Perth. I think we're the second most isolated city in the world, so you really have to learn to amuse yourself. And we were obsessed with, myself and all of my friends were obsessed with fashion to music, popular culture, and we didn't have many outlets, so we created our own.
And was this pre-internet? It was a print magazine,
yeah,
right?
It was a print magazine. Yeah, and it was printed on beautiful paper, and I used to go to the print and stand by the print presses for every form that came off. And I remember when I was competing against newspapers for advertising dollars, and I used to tell them, "Well, our magazine stays on your mind, not your fingers."
That's so impressive. How are you getting information in Perth? You didn't have the internet.
Well, we used to write about the things that meant a lot to us. So music was, you know, I used to collect vinyl from and imports and order them, and most of the people that we knew, from fashion designers to photographers, a lot of photographers started working for the magazine when we were an independent, and now they populate some of the, you know, the leading roles in the fashion and publishing businesses now. So I think we all grew up with it and we created our own worlds. But you can be interested in art and literature and architecture and photography and fashion and music wherever you are. So we all came together as like a like-minded group to produce something that meant a lot to us.
So cool. So Elle, your turn. So you up and left and came to America, and you were a teenager too, right? I was trying to do the math.
I was 18 and I wanted to go to law school. And I needed to fund my education. So I had a couple of jobs. I had a job in a pharmacy where I worked Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, and I earned $13 a week. That was not going to get me through law school. And I just said, okay, I've got to figure out something else. And a friend of mine suggested I start modeling, and I didn't even know what modeling meant. I mean, contrary to Andrea's story, I'd never even seen a magazine. I wasn't interested in art or music or literature. I was a kid that sort of grew up in the beaches, and I went to school and had my friends. And so, I mean, the concept of even working in fashion was not in my, you know, it was not in my mindset at all. But I did want to go to school, and I did want to pay for it. I wanted financial independence and freedom. And so I started working, and one thing led to another, and I deferred my place in college for the following year, and that I moved to America in 1982, and here I am 35 years later.
So it's not that unusual for Australians to up and relocate. To an American, it sounds like, oh my God, you moved half a world away.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's part of my personality as being Australian. So I'm sort of like give it a go girl. And I'll try things. And that's actually been a really useful sort of quality to have, because it's allowed me to really explore what I love to do and what interests me, and, you know, do lots of different things within my scope of work. But in the beginning in Australia, people sort of traveled once when they got out of school. You'd go for 6 weeks away. And I once saw a tour guide in Greece, and he told me, oh gosh, I love those Australian tourists because they're so hungry for knowledge about where they are, because I think they think they're never going to get back. And I do feel like when we go, we're like a sponge. We want to learn so much because we don't know when we're going to be able to get overseas. And when, you know, and so I left, and it didn't seem like anything, even like a rite of passage. It just felt like I was going. And remember, I was only going for 6 weeks, but I ended up spending 35 years. So it wasn't like I said, okay, I'm leaving Australia for 35 years. I just said I'm going to go for 6 weeks. And then it was 3 months, and then it was 6 months, and then it was a year. And then it was actually I'm exploring and evolving and learning a lot. And this is what I'm going to keep doing for now.
So did you ever want to go back to law school?
Yeah, people often ask me, do I wish I'd gone back to law school? And the answer is, I'm so grateful that I was encouraged to continue getting to know myself and try lots of new things, because it kept me on a path that was a really interesting journey over the last few years. I don't believe in regretting anything. I think we are where we are because of the decisions that we've made, and was just, you know, a decision I made.
And you could still go to law school?
Well, I deal so much with lawyers. It's like I've become an expert anyway at reading contracts.
I was going to say, I can't even imagine the number of contracts you've had to deal with over the years between all your agents and all your modeling work. Yeah. So tell me how you two met.
I was publishing Australian Style magazine, and we were doing a special issue on Australian icons. And naturally, I wanted Elle to be on the cover of that issue. So that was really our first, that was our first interaction. That would have been 96, I think.
Was that that white bathing suit with the cowboy hat?
That was after that. It was the one where you were naked, actually, with teased hair and your legs crossed.
But you know what? That's why I was thinking. Because I remember thinking at the time, hey, who's this woman who's so cool as to put, you know, it's kind of ballsy cover. And I wasn't actually a girl that had, I wasn't really a cover girl per se. You know, I was a sort of an athletic, Amazonian, strong Australian girl. Yes, I did a lot of bathing suit shops because I was very comfortable on the beach. I realized when I was very young that I could not be what the girls of my time were, which were androgynous, very thin, very fashionable girls. I wasn't that, and my career really started to evolve once I kind of said, okay, who am I? What do I represent? And I realized that no, I'm strong and athletic, and that's what I need to be in my pictures. So I started adopting poses and started to really create that image to some extent. But I remember being fascinated by this woman that would put me naked on the cover of their magazine. And what she didn't tell you is this magazine was like, it was triple the size of a normal magazine. You know, it was like a coffee table magazine, and it was on the most incredible paper. And she had the coolest people in there, the best upcoming actor, the most well-known rock star, wonderful artists. And so to be included with these people in this beautiful spread, I just immediately loved her, thinking, thank you for putting me on the cover of your magazine. And then she did again.
Well, we were thinking, do you think Elle would do a cover for us? Because we're an independent, very cheeky, we used to do things our own way and cause a lot of trouble intentionally. And so I think in that issue we had our Prime Minister, it was a very interesting collection of people, and we thought, well, I wonder if Elle would do it, and she did, and it was incredibly supportive for us, because it really did help us jump up a level as a little independent magazine to one that sold out that issue. I don't know if I told you that, but it did.
So then you sold your magazine and got into the beauty business. How did that transition happen?
I published the magazine for nearly 10 years, and it was about youth culture, and I believe strongly that you should, that particular title and that particular genre should be written by and produced by the people who were living it. And I just felt that, you know, heading into my 30s, I didn't really think that it was for me anymore. I didn't want to be talking about what the kids like. That was just cringeful. So there was a time, and it was also an opportune time because publishers were trying to acquire cool titles like ours. So there was a natural exit point for me. And then back in my hometown after I returned, I spoke to these scientists from the particle engineering department at our local university, and they said that they told me about the way that they'd discovered a technique to reduce the particle sizes down in zinc, for example, and it would make it clear. And then they told me why this was a superior sunscreen and that they had interest from cosmetic companies all over the world and it was going to change the industry. Only problem was it's about 10 times more expensive than the cheap chemical blockers. So I said to them, well, why don't we create a brand? I'll create a brand, and then that'll make the ingredient well known, and then it will start to gain traction. So created a brand called Invisible Zinc.
But wait, I have to stop you for 1 second. So you have no experience in packaged goods,
no
beauty industry experience. You just decide once again, you're going to go for it and do this.
Yeah, I think it was so compelling to me when they told me, and I didn't know, most Australians were completely unaware. Sunscreen is a product that is part of our everyday life. When they told me that the dangers of these chemical UV absorbers and what they do, I thought, the world should know about this. This is a disgrace. And so then when we produced the products, it was a rocky road in the beginning, but very difficult to formulate, very thick creams they weren't cosmetically appealing. So it probably took us a year or two to work with formulators and to get that right. And then when we did and we started to gain shelf space, we were in all the pharmacies, department store, and then when we broke through into grocery, that was the point when we were sitting on the shelves alongside you know, your Beiersdorf's and J&J's. We were very vulnerable as a little independent, and that's when I went to Elle and asked her if she would do our TV commercials. And when we can talk about the benefits of a physical UV reflector, but if Elle talks about the benefits of a superior sunscreen and why it's healthier and better for you, a lot more people are going to hear that message. So Elle really did help us establish that education piece around the brand that we think really contributed substantially to what we did.
I love that you two keep dipping in and out of your lives. So Wellco now represents your third partnership, in a sense.
Yes.
How did Wellco come about?
Andrea's actually been somebody who's really educated me as far as wellness is concerned. So I started this understanding about just even like going, what's in our products with Invisible Zinc? Because when she explained to me, you know, when you go in the sun and you put these products on your skin, this is what it's actually doing, and this is what this new product, because before I could do the TV commercials, I have to understand what I'm selling and I have to really truly believe in it. And that's always been something that's been important to me in my modeling career, that I've aligned myself with brands that there is an authentic, let's say, parallel with my own beliefs. And Wellco is a very different situation because I'm not a spokesperson for Wellco. Actually, we co-founded it together through personal experience. You know, I had a problem, researched the solution, had a vision to share with other people, spoke to Andrea about it. We wanted to do business together. And she said, come on, let's build a company to share this message for other people because it's so important, because you've seen profound effects on your life. And I truly believe in this as well. And we want to share it with other people. And so that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And she brought in the best nutritional experts and doctors to help formulate the product that is now our hero product, the Super Elixir. It was based on a product that I had been taking from a nutritionist in London who was helping me with some ailments that I had when I was, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, turning 40, 49, 50. And I just noticed that I couldn't really rely on my genetic disposition anymore for my well-being. I had to give it some support. So I worked personally with a nutritionist to tell her the things that I needed in it, and then a team kind of refined that, and that's what we have now as our Super Elixir. So we had a fantastic product, and we had the desire to share this message with other people because we'd seen profound changes in our lives since taking it. And also, we'd come to understand that there's a real correlation between beauty and wellness, whereas before, the correlation has always been beauty and youth. And we just said, no, actually, it's the tide has changed. Things are changing.
It is shocking, isn't it, when you think about the beauty industry and how everything was about the external, what you can put on your face, what you can put on your skin, and so little conversation about what you were eating and how that was affecting your mental state, how you looked, how you felt.
There's been a huge shift, and we feel quite strongly that this is driven by what people want and how we feel and how informed we are, and it's not a trend. This is really a profound shift in people's attitudes and the way we want to live. And I think there's a generation that want to care about their health and not wait until they're sick to care about their health. And sometimes it's a crisis or it's something that will happen in your life personally that will trigger that, and sometimes it's just like a light goes on and you can't unknow things.
So, Elle, it sounds like for you a light went on, but were you living what you would have considered a wellness-based life?
I think I lived a fit life. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked out and I drank water and I ran and I looked after my body, but I looked after my body in a very sort of 80s way. And actually, I didn't really change my program much. And in fact, when I went to the nutritionist, I said, I'm doing what I've always done and it's not working anymore. And it's like, even at that, when I think about that, I think, well, duh. You know,
I think that's a really profound statement you just said, that you can apply to so many different things in your life.
And I'm not evolving. Oh, okay. So what I realized was that I was taking a lot of synthetic vitamins. They were not doing what I was hoping they would do because they're synthetic and my body doesn't recognize them. So I was just, you know, peeing them out or, you know, spending lots of money, being my own pharmacist, making my own cocktails. Goodness knows what I was doing. And my intentions were good, which was to look after myself. Sometimes it was just damage control. Like I haven't slept enough. I haven't eaten the right foods. I'm working too hard. And I'll stuff a bunch of vitamins down my throat and hope that it's going to make it all better. You spend a lot of time in front of the mirror checking to see that, you know, the looking after the body, the asset in many ways. And it's not much fun. So my nutritionist said to me, listen, I think that you're just missing the point a little bit here. You know, what's really important for you at this stage is that you have a really kind of acidic lifestyle. And when you have an acidic lifestyle, it causes inflammation in your body. The cells tend to regenerate less quickly. You put on weight. You become fatigued. And particularly if you've been doing that for a long period of time, obviously it's going to really start to show. So we need to change that lifestyle choices that you're making in order to be able to see the results that you would like, which is just to feel better. So the first thing she asked me to do was sleep more. And I was like, what do you mean sleep more? You know, I'm superwoman. I sleep 4 hours a night and I've got fantastic energy. And she's like, you call that energy? She says, I call that adrenal depletion. So I learned a lot about my body and I realized that sleep is very important and water is very important and nutrients from whole foods. And that is one of the things that is so important with Wellco. You know, our nutrients are plant-based botanicals derived from whole foods. I learned, she just opened up my eyes to a lot of things that I thought I was doing well and realized actually, no. And it's quite a simple program. It's just eat more plants, get more sleep, get some sunshine, drink lots of water and get outside and take your super elixir. It's really simple.
So, Andrew, how about you? When you were about to start this journey, what was your life like at that point? Were you taking care of yourself?
I don't think I really knew what taking care of myself meant. I think I was a bit like Al said, women sometimes feel like to be superwoman, you need to be doing everything. And it's a sign, it's something you're proud of. I only sleep this many hours a night and I get up and I do this and I do that. And I don't think I was even aware of many of the issues. And hopefully most of the things we do in our 20s wouldn't be good to be doing at this age. The thing that I do love about Wellco is when we see we've got, you know, 20-somethings now who are into health and wellness and they're taking plant-based proteins and they're posting on Instagram about their, you know, their meals and their healthy meals. It's become something that 20-somethings are proud of. I mean, we weren't doing that at that age. You were proud of destroying your health in a way, and that was your sign of bravery, and it's just terrible. So I think it's great that there's a whole generation coming up that have a completely different viewpoint. And I think if you can adopt those principles quite early, I think that it's going to set you up for a different type of life.
Are you very excited by this movement? I have to say, for me, I just feel like this revolution, we're only like at the beginning of this revolution of health and wellness and mindfulness. And you really represent sort of this wave of what I think is just about to become something huge and major and really has the potential to just change so many people's lives.
Yeah, I agree. I think this isn't a trend. This is a profound shift. And I think it's a shift for good. And if you look at a lot of lifestyle-related conditions and illnesses, and I think that maybe there's a more positive future ahead if this becomes something that is widely adopted. And if we're part of that process, that would be something we're really proud of.
We'll be right back with Andrea Horwood and Elle McPherson right after this message from our sponsors. Does this happen to you? You need a dozen eggs, you go to the supermarket, you head to the egg section, and you are so confused by what you find there, you freeze. You want nice eggs on hand because maybe you want a cheese and herb omelet for dinner, or you want to poach an egg to slip on your avocado toast, and you know quality eggs make a big difference. And you're a decent person, so it's important that chickens have a good life. But as you stand there, you think to yourself, I have no idea what all these words on the egg cartons mean. So you shrug, pick one, and continue shopping. Stop right there. You are a busy lady. You don't need this bull in your life. You need bull free eggs, which is where Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs come in. Their pasture-raised hens roam outside in 108 square feet of space per hen. Those cage-free hens, they never go outside. I tasted the difference once I tried Vital Farms eggs. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. It's time for our Bob's Red Mill Minute. Today, we're talking about Bob's Red Mill whole grain quinoa. Everybody loves quinoa as a salad or as a side, but did you know you can bake with quinoa? Gabby Vigoro, the brilliant baker at my coffee shop, Smith Canteen, in Brooklyn, makes these incredible muffins with quinoa and seasonal fruit. The ingredients include cinnamon, yogurt, olive oil, lots of yummy stuff. They also contain honey, so there's no refined sugar. The quinoa gives a nice crunch and some texture. These muffins are also a great way to use up some fruit that is maybe a little bashed up. It doesn't have to look perfect to taste delicious in this muffin. Berries and stone fruit are really great in this recipe. We'll be sure to include the recipe with the show description so you can bake some for yourself. These quinoa muffins are something you're really going to want to try. Don't forget, with Bob's Red Mill, you're not just getting quality, you're getting flavor-packed food that tastes amazing. Visit bobsredmill.com today and remember to use the code CHERRY25 for 25% off at checkout. So tell me why you're in New York right now. You have big stuff going on.
Oh, you start. Good, you can say.
We just opened our first flagship store in the US in Soho on the corner of Broome and Crosby. And this is something that is very exciting for us because it gives us a chance to have a direct relationship with our customers and for them to come in and have, you know, a direct contact with us, the look and feel of the brand, to taste our products, to talk to our team and to learn a little more about Welco. And I feel strongly that we wanted to create an environment that was very aligned with Elle and my, you know, personal aesthetic as well. There's not a lot of millennial pink in our store, but it's a sophisticated, creative environment and a product that is so good for you. We wanted to create an environment that was beautiful and it reflected the way that we live as well. So hopefully it'll be a different experience when people come in to see us. It's not a purely transactional experience to come in, try our products, to see what we do and to have an understanding of the DNA of Welco and where we come from in Australia.
So it's really bold what you're doing to open a store. I mean, to your credit, you only have a few products. You haven't like blown out the line and done like 8 million SKUs. So it's clear you really believe in your products to open a whole store based around this.
Yeah, I believe that wellness is the true luxury. And anybody who's suffered any health ailments or lost somebody or has had people around them that have suffered from not being well will understand only perhaps at that point how valuable our wellness is. Mm-hmm. You know, feeling good, feeling vibrant, feeling excited to get up in the day, feeling strong, being able to run around after your kids, get your work done, feel inspired. And so we decided that we were going to really create a luxury space and sell our products as a luxury item because we believe wellness is a luxury. As far as being ballsy as opening up the space, I think that it's a great hub for like-minded people. And not only to learn about Wellco, but to learn about themselves. Mm. They can get in and ask a nutritionist there and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm feeling. You know, what do you recommend? And basically what we found is that 99% of the ailments that we have, men and women and children, get distilled into a similar thing, which is you need more truly rich nutrients in your body. Good plant protein, good multivitamins and mineral, good prebiotics, probiotics. And so we keep it very simple. And we're here to hopefully make a change in people's lives. And I think in order to do that, we've got to keep it simple and clear. Our message, you know, it has a way of standing out from the crowd when it's simple.
We have a store in Australia that's attached to our head office. And it's really valuable for us because we have a dialogue with our customers. We're a direct-to-customer business. So we talk to our customers. We hear what they want. They tell us what they expect from us. And we can be completely transparent. We want to talk about the origin of all of our ingredients, known source supplies, sustainability of ingredients as we grow. And we found that just by having what is a tiny little hole in the wall in Australia, the percentage is so high. It's nearly 98% of customers that walk through our door where we have a chance to talk to them and they experience the product, they end up buying the product. And so that we could see the value of that direct communication. We also learn from our customers when they come in. So, for example, they'll say to us, I go through three tins of those of the protein powder every 2 weeks, and could you do a larger pack size for us? Or I don't like traveling with a tin, could you do this? And can you mix this with that? And I wish I could, can I give this to my children? So it helped us, you know, develop a children's product as well, a healthy chocolate drink for children. So the communication is a two-way street for us, and we learn from our customers as well.
So I want to ask you some food questions. Mm-hmm. Before we let you go. So I know you both make smoothies using the powders.
Mm.
So I'm kind of lazy. I just put it in my water. What's a smoothie recipe that you do with one of your powders?
Okay, just to be clear, we do have four products. We have the Super Greens.
Right.
We have the chocolate protein powder for adults, the vanilla protein powder for adults. We have the chocolate protein powder for kids. And we have our sleep tea. So my favorite smoothie is I will do half an avocado, a huge scoop or maybe two scoops of chocolate protein. So I do basically 2-to-1, two scoops of chocolate protein, one scoop of greens, an avocado and water in a Nutribullet, and I mix it up. And it becomes like a mousse.
Mm-hmm.
I started off doing it with sort of milk and things like that, and then I just started looking at different ways of making smoothies, not using milk. Then I started making my own milk, so nut milk, and then I decided, actually, why don't I do hemp milk? So often I'll just do chocolate protein, 1/4 cup of hemp seeds, and water. Delicious. I tend not to put fruit in with my protein, but a lot of people do.
What I love that Elle McPherson is making her own nut milks.
Yeah.
That makes my day.
Absolutely. I'm at like a 3 times a week nut milk girl. It's great. But the hemp milk is fantastic.
You have to tell me, how do you make, because I have a nut milk bag, which I think is like the funniest thing to say. But how do you make your nut milk?
So what I do is I always soak my nuts for 12 hours. And because that releases the enzymes, and so it's much easier for us to digest. And then I wash and drain them 2 or 3 times during that period. I put 1 cup of almonds to 2 cups of water in the blender, and then I pour it into my nut bag, and I squeeze it like a nutter. I milk my nut bag like a cow, and I get this wonderful.
There's something very satisfying
milk.
About it, right?
So satisfying. Yeah. You have to wash your hands first, though. The other way to do it is if you have a French sieve, you can do that. You can balance the French sieve on a big saucepan and just let it drain if you're not into like having the mess of a nut milk. But the faster one is the hemp seeds. So 1/4 cup of hemp seeds and 1 cup of water makes a really great protein milk.
I haven't
as well.
Tried that one. I need to
and
try
it's
that.
So easy.
And you don't have to soak anything.
No, you don't have to soak it.
I like that. Okay. Andrea's laughing. Andrea, you don't own a nut milk bag?
I do. But and actually, Elle taught me about the hemp milk because I was making almond milk a couple of times a week, and I found it just, it's quite heavy after a while as well, and I just wanted to vary it. And when I came to stay with you in the US a couple of years ago now, and Elle taught me how to make hemp milk, so I started off that way. Now I don't even strain it. I just put a scoop of hemp seeds into filtered water, frozen banana and chocolate protein and our greens in together, and I make the same for the kids in the morning for breakfast. So I don't care what else they have as long as they have that as well.
I've got one more tip that I've just learned, which is frozen cauliflower with water and make sort of like a smoothie out of that with your protein powder and super greens and whatever you want to put in it. I just throw whatever you can find, but you use your base as cauliflower.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
And it tastes It's just
amazing.
Kind of neutral?
It's neutral, okay. But it gives it a thick, especially if it's frozen, makes it cold. A lot of people like their their smoothies cold. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting one. Check that out.
Huh. Okay, absolutely. I got some good tips from you both. What is next for Wellco?
We've been working with our formulators, and we have a scientific board at Wellco. It's comprised of members that help us take the process right through from known source supply to formulations to nutritional doctors. And we've been working on a series of super boosters that enable you to customize your requirements. So we have 7 variants and we're launching them at the end of October. Things like if you have an additional requirement or if you need an immunity boost, and so these are very high dose, high efficacy products. They're actually made under the TGA regulations in Australia. So that's our standard for listed medicines. I've worked with them before when I had the sunscreen company because we were made under TGA license there as well. So some of the highest standards in the world, and these products just enable you to, if you have specific needs, you add those to boost your super elixir. And with those 7 variants, you can choose, you know, what you may need at the time.
Yeah. Oh, exciting. I love that. I didn't ask you about mentors. Like we said earlier, the word entrepreneur wasn't a word that was thrown around that much back when we were all teenagers. You really have been entrepreneurs for your whole working lives, essentially. I mean, it's only recently that models are called entrepreneurs, but obviously, like, all models were entrepreneurs. But who were some of your role models along the way from a business perspective?
Andrea has definitely been a role model for me. And, you know, as we've mentioned here, we have a long relationship and I've learned a lot with her. I think time has been my greatest mentor and experience. I just try things out and they work or they don't work, or you think they don't work, but in the end you realize actually, gosh, you know, that was a stepping stone to something else. And so I feel that, you know, our own personal experience and digging deep inside ourselves and having the courage to make changes or make those steps, or when we reach crossroads and we have to slow down and check in with ourselves and see what really resonates, and then we have the courage to make a step down a road that we don't even know, you know, where it's going, where we can't see the future, but we feel something, we decide to do it. I feel that that is the truest mentor. Watching other people's journeys, you don't know what they went through. You see the exterior indication of it, but you don't know what they went through to get there. So it's very hard to be really truly mentored by others, I believe. My father, having said that, has been somebody who is an entrepreneur all his life. But just by watching him reinvent himself, and, you know, he taught me to work smart, not hard. And, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do business. You do what works for you at the time that it does, and you adapt and evolve according to your circumstances.
How about you?
Very similar, actually. I think I watched my father do very interesting things that were part of his life and they became part of his career. So very varied career. It's made me very aware that my children will be watching what I'm doing because you tend to absorb those influences. My father was involved in primary industry in Australia, so he was the head of the Royal Agricultural Society and then Defence Council on, you know, whether they'd be buying submarines or ships that year, and then the chairman of the Port Authority. These are really varied, unusual career moves, and I watched him do things that just genuinely interested him, and he did them very well and his heart was in it. And I think he was old school, so he probably wanted to train his sons to go to do those sorts of things. He probably didn't imagine that his the youngest of 4 and a girl would go and do those things, but I was definitely influenced by watching him. And there was, I think when I was around 22, I wasn't really sure that Dad was watching what I was doing. And when I was about 22, I participated in a documentary for the ABC, and they said they were going to ask my father a question about my career, and that filled me with terror because I thought, what on earth will he say? I don't really think he knows what I do anyway. And the only thing, my father was a man of few words, and he said, I always thought my children would be known as Jim Horwood's children. I think I may actually be known as Andrea Horwood's father. And I shouldn't try and impersonate his voice, but that's that. I remember watching that and just feeling incredibly proud.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, thank you both. I mean, I just think it's incredible that you're empowering women in the way that you are through their health and helping them take care of themselves. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks so much for having us and supporting us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you to Elle and Andrea of Wellco for stopping by. Their very first Wellco shop in America just opened in Manhattan, so go check it out if you're in town. And to learn more about Wellco, visit wellco.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Bob's Red Mill, Vital Farms Pasture-Raised Eggs, and Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School. Thank you to our associate producer, Jess Zeidman, and to the band Tra-La-La for our theme song. Don't forget, tickets are on sale for Cherry Bomb University, happening October 26th, 27th, and 28th in New York City. See cherrybomb.com for more and for tickets. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. Thank you again to our pals at The Wing. We recorded this interview with Elle and Andrea at The Wing in Dumbo. Visit the-wing.com to learn more about The Wing. Thanks for listening, everyone. You're the bomb.
I'll have what she's having.
Hi, I'm Jess Zeidman, the associate producer of Radio Cherry Bomb and the newest member of the Bomb Squad. Do you know who I think is the bomb? Deb Perlman of Smitten Kitchen. Why? Because her cookbooks, website, and Instagram are my favorite ways to procrastinate. That's what I got.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.